Genesis 26:18, and the word of God says, "And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley, and found there a well of springing water. The herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. They digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. He called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, 'For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.' And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and said, 'I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake.' And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Please be seated. I'm not the first to say that 2020 has been far from the year that we thought it would be. Whether it's personal, national, and even global circumstances that have been shaken to the core, and even outside of the COVID crisis, we've all faced unsuspected difficulties over the last 12 months. Changes in employment, not reaching school grades, bereavements, financial worries, health problems, to name but a few, have affected us in different ways. Even as a church body, we looked forward to seeing hearts changed by the gospel down round wherever the tent mission was going to be, and we wonder why God would permit that endeavour to be postponed. We've been restricted from meeting for the best part of a third of this year, and with each week that goes by, the uncertainty of everything can affect even the best and the strongest of all of us here. But even so, as God's people, we should be able to say with Jeremiah that it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And this year has shown us all the need of a stable walk with the Lord, for without him we would be far, I imagine, from being safe and sane amidst the changing chaos of all the world around us. I don't know about you, but I was ready for the new year since April. And as we prepare for 2021 in the will of God, these final days of this year are a good time for some personal and spiritual reflection. Now, how do we come back with a changed perspective spiritually for the coming year? If our walk with God is starting to get loose, if it's starting to be a bit shaky, soon everything else around us in our lives will be as well. So as we consider this passage this morning, we'll see the challenges and the comforts that God lays before his people this morning as we try to rebuild after a broken year. I've titled my message this morning, "Rebuilding After a Broken Year." After reading the passage, I could have called it "Well, Well, Well," but rebuilding after a broken year is perhaps a bit more professional. So looking firstly at Isaac here in this passage, feeling determined. Isaac feeling determined. In the verse 18, we're brought into the scene where Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. This would have been a very difficult task for Isaac. It would have been very expensive and time-consuming for him to do. He simply could have went away and tried to find some other wells that weren't Abraham's, but there was something very particular about these wells of Abraham's that Isaac felt the need to replenish them, the need to revive them, and to dig them again, the wells from the days of his father Abraham. He thought it was a very necessary task to put in the work, to dig deep, and to rebuild these wells that his father Abraham had built. And looking to the spiritual application of that, seeing how these wells were necessary to the life of Isaac and to the life of those around him, because these wells would have brought water for him and for his livestock. It would have been for washing as well, for all the necessities that he would have used of water. And he saw these as very necessary. And so for our own spiritual lives, do we see the spiritual wells as necessary? Do we see the water and the waters that flow from the cross, the living streams of water that Christ said flow from the Saviour, do we see them as necessary this morning? Do we see them as important as Isaac sees them? Or do we think we can skip past them and go somewhere else for refreshment, somewhere else for replenishment? Isaac didn't do that, and he focused on the wells from the days of his father Abraham. He saw them as the necessary ones. You know, Job, even in the midst of all his laments and everything that was happening all around him, he said to the Lord that he has esteemed the words of God's mouth more than his necessary food. More than my necessary food. Well, that is how necessary, that is how important Job viewed the words of God in the midst of everything that he was going through. And so it's a good example for us this morning. How necessary, how important do we see our own spiritual wells of Abraham? The wells and the living waters that God says pours out of the hearts of those who are his. Are we willing to replenish those? Are we feeling determined to dig those up again? Isaac needed to dig these up again because the Philistines, we read in the verse 18, had stopped them after the death of Abraham. The Philistines had filled these wells of Abraham up with the earth again. They had stopped them from flowing. The water wasn't getting through. They couldn't drag the water out. They had filled them up with the earth or with stones or whatever it is that they had filled them up with. And so Isaac needed to get into these wells and to clear them out. Needed to dig out all the dirt and all the rot that was right in the middle of the wells. Maybe some of us this morning are feeling a bit spiritually clogged up. Maybe if we're talking about our own spiritual wells, we can feel some of the earth of the world, some of the dirt of the world has got in and stopping the flow of those living waters that are normally within us. Stopping the flow of the great spiritual blessings that we've known in days gone by. Whenever we think of David and his lament over his sin with Bathsheba, he felt spiritually clogged up. He felt he needed a good clear out in his heart and in his soul. And in that Psalm 51, and whenever his famous lament over his sin, he cries out to the Lord, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." This wasn't just a quick wipe down. This wasn't a quick that'll do. But David felt the need of a great clear out. He needed purged from the Lord of anything that was stopping that regular flow of blessing and spiritual life within him. He needed a new heart created clean within him. Not just a very quick wipe down with a bit of kitchen roll or anything like that, but he needed a clean heart and a renewed spirit, a renewed right spirit within him. You know, as we prepare for 2021 and we look forward to seeing God move and we can't wait to see the back end of this year, but are we really willing to have that personal clear out, that spiritual detox, to clear out the dirt that's in our lives at the minute? Those dirts, those sins that we've let go and perhaps even have let built up as the year has gone by, while we've been stuck at home and we've been left alone with that particular sin in the home and in the room. Are we willing in these days to come, even this morning, as we've sat here this morning, and for those who are sitting at home, are we willing and ready to have those wells, spiritual wells in our lives cleared out? Are we willing to feel determined to clear them out and to have that sense of cleansing, fresh sense of cleansing in the blood and by the Spirit of God? We've noted that Isaac digged these wells of Abraham, his father. He didn't go out looking for other wells, but he was determined to dig again these wells of his father Abraham. Because these wells had served Abraham well, these were the wells that Abraham built, and well, they were good enough for Abraham. And the Lord blessed the use of them in Abraham's day. And so Isaac remembers the work that God has done in Abraham's life, and he says, well, if it was good enough for Abraham, then that will be good enough for me. If God blessed Abraham, then surely the Lord will continue to bless me as well. Isaac knew that a faithful God would care for him as well as he cared for Abraham. You know, for us this morning, the spiritual blessings, the spiritual resources are all there for us. We don't need to be going around digging for any other wells. The wells of the Word of God are enough for us. They've served Isaac well, they've served Abraham well, they've served all the saints that have gone past well. And so there's no need for us to go around looking for any new experience, to look for anything else to feed our soul, because we have it right here. We have it right here in the Word of God. And this is enough to fulfill the hunger and the thirst of every soul gathered here. You know, if you're looking for the newest phase and the newest craze to bring some form of contentment in the Christian walk, that contentment's never going to come, because you'll always be looking for something newer. And something newer after that, and something newer after that. And so outside of these spiritual wells of the Word of God, you'll never find that contentment. You'll never settle that spiritual hunger. Know that the resources are here. The spiritual resources and the way to blessing is right here in the Word of God. And Isaac digs again these particular wells, knowing that they served Abraham well in his own day, looking for that same blessing of God. Now Isaac feels determined to dig again these wells. And so he digs them to completion. You know, he doesn't just leave a little dent. He's not content of just pulling up the weed and leaving the soil there. He's not content of picking up a couple of stones to see if he can look down and see if that'll do him. But he digs them again, and even going into the verse 19, he digs them so far that he finds the wells of springing water. Now he puts in the work. He's determined to get these wells going again. Even after the Philistines have filled them, and later on we'll see to keep filling them up again, Isaac's determined to keep going until he hits the spring. As much work as it's going to take for Isaac, he's not stopping until he gets the springing water in the wells. Spiritually speaking, I wonder how hungry we are in our souls this morning for spiritual things. How deep is our spiritual hunger this morning? Are we satisfied with the drips? Are we satisfied with just seeing the surface of the water? Are we happy enough to see it somewhere down there in the well and think, well, if I ever need it, I know it's there, but you know, I'm all right for the meantime. I have enough to keep me going. Or are we begging out for the streams? Are we dying for the springs of water that Isaac digged for, that Isaac was determined to get? You know, we think of the hymn writer, showers of blessing we need, mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Are you pleading for the showers this morning? Not only in terms of a national revival, but even in your own personal life. Are you begging out for the showers to fall again? After everything we've been through this year, maybe the hunger has dried out a wee bit. Maybe this year has left you content with the drips and you've maybe forgotten what the streams are like. Maybe the circumstances and situations over this last year has dried up that hunger. Dear friend, this morning, get back into the streams. Keep digging until you hit those wells of springing water from the Word. Keep feeling determined until that flowing water is back and you know the full blessings of the hand of God. Don't be missing out on the blessings because of being half determined. Don't miss out on the working of God in your life because you feel a bit lazy. But as we look forward to this new year, know that the Lord who has worked before is willing and able to work again. And to know those full blessings in your life once again. Isaac feeling determined. Secondly, we see Isaac facing discouragements. Because after he builds again these wells of Abraham, he's done it because the Philistines stopped them and they filled them up with the earth. In the verse 19, Isaac's servants digged in the valley. They found a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water is ours." They filled up the wells and they claimed the wells as their own. They didn't want Isaac to be successful. They did not want Isaac to get any part of this water at all. And so they fill the wells up. It's amazing the length these Philistines and the men of Gerar go to stop Isaac reaching any water. They do as much as they can to stop him getting even the smallest drop. You know, that's a great illustration of how Satan tries to disrupt the life of the believer. You know, he tries to stop even the smallest drip of living water reaching us. He tries to stop even the smallest spiritual blessing affecting our hearts and our souls. He hates our enjoyment of spiritual things. He hates the meetings like this, and that is why he's tried to stop them over the last year. He hates it when Christians come together and enjoy the great things of God. He tries to stop the streams, and he tries to stop the drips, and so he tries everything in his power to do that, to disrupt the life of the believer. You know, whether it's through temptation, whether it's through trials, whether it's through disruption, whether it's through depression, whether it's through distractions, whether it's through the everyday hurts of life, and Satan will use them to dig deeper at us, to try and block up the wells, trying to claim the wells as his own. Believer this morning, don't let Satan block the wells. Don't let the enemy disrupt your walk with the Lord as we approach another year. As we lay out the blueprint as to what we think this year is going to hold, as we very, as we pencil in rather than pen in the calendar, knowing that it may be prone to change. As we look forward to seeing how God's going to move, don't let Satan disrupt the flow of the living water. Don't let Satan fill up the wells in your life. Because Isaac doesn't do that, or even though he faces these distractions, he strives to reach the goal. He doesn't let the opposition and the oppression of the Philistines and the herdmen of Gerar around him, he doesn't let them shape him. But after they fill the wells, and after they claim one well, he goes and builds another, and they claim that, and he keeps on going until they leave him alone. Isaac strives to reach the goal, even with the discouragements and the distractions all around him. You know, as we've seen this world unfold over this year, and it just seems to be getting worse and worse in terms of how it's reacting to the gospel and how it's reacting to God's people, I wonder, are we focused on the discouragements, or are we focused on the Lord? Are we focused on the works of others? Are we focused on how our own Philistines are building up the wells? Are we focused on how Satan's trying to work, or are we keeping our eyes on the Lord? Are we trusting in him, knowing that he is willing and able, that he has conquered over Satan? And that Satan's only doing his best to disrupt whatever he can before he's thrown into that lake of fire. You know, Christ said to his disciples before he headed to Calvary, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." As much as we think 2020 was bad, we don't know what next year holds. And I'm trying to be as encouraging as to say that, as I can when I say that. But whatever it tries to throw at us, Christ has overcome 2021 already. Christ has overcome the world. I said on Wednesday night about, very reverently, how God had the calendar of human history spread out on the wall of heaven, and he has penned in, not penciled in, he has penned in every date of human history. He knows what next year holds. And he knows what it is his people are going to need. Whenever we face particular days, whenever we face particular moments in the coming year in his will, he knows what it is we're going to need. And he has promised he is willing and able to meet that need. He has promised to never leave us or forsake us. He has promised that we will be of good cheer. We can be of good cheer because he has already overcome the world. As we face discouragements in the days to come, are we focused on the Word of God? Are we focused on him? Or are we more focused on the discouragements around us? Because Isaac certainly doesn't focus on these discouragements, because it's more than on one occasion that he faces these discouragements. They fill up the wells, and then Isaac builds another well, and they come and say, "Well, that water's ours, that well's ours." He goes away somewhere else and builds another well, and they chase him down after that, and they say, "Well, that one's ours as well." And it just seems that if we were in Isaac's position, how much longer would we keep going? You know, if we were in Isaac's position, we would think, "Well, you know, we may as well just give up now and buy the water off them." But Isaac continues to fight against these people. I don't need to be the one to tell you that Satan certainly doesn't stop chasing the believer after round one. Satan keeps going until the bell. He continuously wants to stop us. He continually wants to disrupt us and discourage us with various things. We've mentioned them earlier, being tempted, being distressed, being disrupted and depressed and hurt and everything. Satan certainly doesn't stop. He is ruthless. He's no longer the snake in the Garden of Eden. Peter called him a lion in his day. When you get to Revelation, he's the great dragon. He only gets worse and worse. But we are reminded that Christ has already overcome, that greater is he is in us than he that is in the world this morning. As we face these discouragements, we realize that Satan doesn't stop. And if we are easily discouraged this morning, if we are discouraged and if we are beaten and if we are heartbroken spiritually very easily, we may not be of great help in the kingdom. If our eyes are continuously on Satan, if our eyes are continuously over our shoulder waiting to see what he's going to do next, we're not going to get very far. No, Isaac just keeps going as he faces these discouragements. He keeps building the wells, and it's not until that Isaac removes himself from the company of the Philistines and from the herdmen of Gerar that they finally stop. Because after he builds Ezek and after he builds Sitna in the verse 22, he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that he strove not. It's not until Isaac gets away fully from the distractions and from the discouragements that he gets his own well, that he gets the water for his own. Maybe as we're approaching 2021, God's asking us this morning to look around and see what hindrances, what distractions, what discouragements are in our own lives. They may be things that perhaps aren't sinful in themselves, but perhaps they're doing damage to our walk with the Lord. Maybe they're disrupting us, and maybe subconsciously they're actually a discouragement to our spiritual walk. I wonder what things God has been pressing on our hearts and on our souls recently, maybe to leave behind in this year. That these things aren't meant to come with us in 2021. So Isaac removes himself, and there he gets the blessings. Even after he faces these discouragements. And it's interesting to note how the discouragements come. And when these discouragements come, it's after he digs the wells. You know, it's not before he starts digging the wells. He's not stopped from digging the wells, but he digs the wells, and then the herdmen of Gerar come and try to take away the wells from him. And it's as if Isaac is experiencing the setbacks after he has the progress. Maybe this morning you're feeling like it's in your spiritual walk anyway, it's one step forward and two steps back. As soon as you think you're making progress, as soon as you think you're hitting the well, Satan has come with another discouragement. And you're back further than you were when you started. Dear believer, know how the enemy works. I know I said we shouldn't have both eyes on the enemy and looking back, but it's wise to know how he works. Because Christ was tempted after his baptism. After that great encounter with the Father, when the Spirit descended like a dove, when God proclaimed to all those around, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," after that, Jesus is taken to the wilderness. And after that, he is tempted. Think of Elijah after the battle of Mount Carmel. What a mountaintop he was on, literally and spiritually. What a great encounter he had with the Lord. And it's after that that he's shaken by the words of a woman who says she's going to kill him. And he's away hiding in the wilderness. He's tempted and he's distressed after the progress. Job has brought sacrifices to the Lord on behalf of his children, worshipping the Lord, praying that his sacrifice would cover their sins, and it's after that the messengers come to him. One after the other, blow after blow. In some sense you could say that Satan follows God's people up the mountaintop in order to push them off. If you're on the mountaintop this morning, spiritually speaking, if you feel like you're on the wave of spiritual blessing, yes, give thanks to the Lord, but don't get carried away. Know that the enemy is trying to bring you back down into the valley. As we face these discouragements, always look and always be aware of knowing that these blessings may not always be permanent. But in the same sense, don't let Satan take away the blessing. Don't let Satan take away those spiritual wells. Don't let him claim them as his own. But always be determined whenever we're facing these discouragements. And don't always forget the discouragements, because we can always remember how the Lord has worked, even in those difficult times. You know, whenever Isaac is battling over these wells, he calls the name of the first well Ezek, which means contention. He names the second well Sitna, which means opposition. And Isaac knows that the blessing is not going to be found there, and that's why he calls them contention, and that's why he calls them opposition. He doesn't try and seek some form of compromise here with the men of Gerar, with the Philistines, about these wells. He doesn't settle that they can have them for some days and he'll take them the rest of the time. He doesn't try to make the best of a bad situation, but he names them the discouragements and he moves on. He calls them contention, he calls them opposition, and he leaves them behind. Maybe there's an Ezek and a Sitna in our lives this morning. Maybe we know that there's a place of contention, there's a place of opposition that we've been struggling with this year, and you know full well that you're not going to get the blessing out of it anyway. If you're trying to make the best of a bad situation, just leave it be and move on in the Lord. Now, whenever the psalmist was talking about where the Lord commands the blessing, it's not in contention and it's not in opposition, but it's in unity. And if there's no unity in where it is you are this morning, if you know full well that you're not going to get the full blessing of the Lord without some form of compromise, just leave it behind. Leave it behind. Call it Essek, call it Sitna, and leave it behind. Now, as Isaac faces these discouragements, and as he feels determined, thirdly and lastly this morning, we see Isaac's faithful devotion. Now, as we've already noted, Isaac moves away from these people. He removes himself and he digs another well. He's away from these distractions. He's out on his own. Away from the enemy, away from the opposition. He may even be away from most of his own people. Just out on his own. Trying to rebuild Abraham's wells. He's away from all these distractions. Believer this morning, don't feel guilty if you think that isolation's the answer. It might be. For a period. Separation may be the answer in the will of God for a time. Didn't Paul have John Mark separate from him for a while? And the Lord blessed both of them wherever they went. Don't think that being out on your own for a while is in any way a sin. It may well be that's where God wants you to be. You know, Jacob sent his family and everything that he had ahead to meet Esau, and it's there when Jacob's on his own that God wrestles with him. And Jacob has that incredible blessing in meeting with the Lord. Whenever Abraham starts to bring Lot with him on his journey from the land of Ur of the Chaldees on his way to Canaan, it's only after Lot leaves him that God speaks to Abraham again. God's maybe asking for you. Maybe God's asking for some time on your own this morning. As this year draws to a close, maybe with another lockdown coming into place and most of us will be stuck at the house, maybe God's asking you to use this time alone with him. Needing to talk with him maybe after the discouragements of this year. Maybe God is going to use these coming days and weeks and months in his will for that spiritual clean out. Whenever it's just you and the Lord, are we going to have this time of faithful devotion that Isaac has with the Lord whenever he removes himself, and even then later on how the Lord meets with him? Isaac names this third well that he builds, Rehoboth. After he removes himself and he digs the well and he's finally got this well of his own, he's named it Rehoboth, which means roominess. If there's an English word, roominess, that's what came up in my dictionary. Roominess. Isaac recognises that God's work and blessing is finally bearing fruit. And he says, "We, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." It's only after that, only after Isaac has put in the work, only after Isaac has shown his faithful devotion, that the Lord has made room for him, and that the Lord would make him fruitful. You know, there's no fast track to spiritual success. We have to be faithful in devotion. We have to be willing to put in the work. We can't just sit back in the spiritual deck chair with our hands out and ask the Lord for everything we want. As much as sometimes we would like that to be the case, as much as that's the way we would want the blessing to come, the Lord has asked us to put our hand to the plough and not turn back. God has called us to works that he has foreordained for us to do. God has called us to a life of faithful devotion. But it's not all on our part, because the Lord meets with Isaac after he builds this well of Rehoboth. After he goes up to Beersheba in the verse 24, the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, "I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee." Now we think of Isaac digging again these wells of Abraham, these wells that had served his father well, those wells that had seen him good. God reminds him that it's not only the wells of Abraham that Isaac has, but he has the very God of Abraham as well. "I am the God of Abraham, thy father." In other words, the same great promises of protection, the same great promises of blessing that God gave to Abraham in the line of succession are applied to Isaac as well. As we approach another year, as Ronnie's already said, a year that begins with uncertainty, a bit of a false start of a year, We are reminded that the same God from days past is the same God tomorrow and the next day and 2021 and 2022 and however long he tarries. He is the same God that never changes. Now, whenever the people of Israel stood at the banks of Jordan, and as the news filters through that Moses is dead, and a new leader is brought to the core, brought to the fore in Joshua, God reminds him, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. As God was with us in more favourable years, as God was with us every day through this year, he will be with us in the next year in his will, and he will not fail us or forsake us. God is still sovereign. God is still in control. Even in the chaos of this year, he was sovereign over it all. On that great calendar in heaven, God had penned in every single date, every single thing that would come to pass. He was sovereign over it all. And whatever next year brings, he's sovereign over it all as well. And if we didn't trust in a God like that, I don't want to think where we would be this morning. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically even. I don't even want to think where I would be this morning, where we would be, if we didn't trust in a God like that. And of course, God just drives that promise home to Isaac. I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee. You know, God just doesn't throw out empty words of fear not and don't be afraid throughout the scriptures. Think of Isaac and the contentions that he's faced here. Think of the discouragements as Isaac's faced as he keeps building these wells and he keeps facing these discouragements. And I'm sure these herdmen of Gerar weren't weak fellas. They would have been brave and strong and bulky. I'm only 5'8". I wouldn't have stood a chance against them. And so Isaac had every reason to fear, and so God reminds him, fear not, for I am with thee. Even with the contention Isaac faces, God is still greater. Well, I haven't had the time to count them, so I have to take the commentator's words for it, but apparently there are 366 times in the Bible where God declares to his people to fear not or be not afraid. One for every day of the year, and they even remember the leap year. And apparently the Hebrew word behind this idea of fear not, it's as if God is saying to Isaac here, don't even think about being afraid. Don't even let it pass your mind. Because Isaac, you have no reason to fear. For I am the God of Abraham, thy father. I am with thee. Don't even think about being afraid. Now, with everything going on, we might think we have every reason to fear. We have every reason to be worried and concerned, and maybe in the right instances we do. But if the God of Abraham is with us, if the God of Abraham tells us to fear not, if the God of Abraham tells us that he is with us this morning, that he will never leave us or forsake us, what reason have we to fear? Maybe God is reminding his people this morning, don't even think about being afraid. Don't even think about being full of fear. But ever trust in him, ever rely on him. You know, this devotion and determination that Isaac has in his life in this particular moment, even through the discouragements that he faces, it certainly pays off. If you turn to the verse 32, it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged and said unto him, we have found water. We have found water. This persistence of Isaac's paid off with the blessing of God through the running water in the well. We wonder what Isaac's blessing would have been if he stopped after the second well. What would Isaac have received if he stopped building the wells? If he stopped clearing out the wells, would he have ever reached that running water? Would he have reached that spring of water if he had stopped after the first couple of discouragements? Maybe there's one this morning listening in, whether it's here or listening in online. And in some sense, it may be make or break in terms of your walk with the Lord. Maybe there's one that feels like it's time to stop. There's one that feels it's just been one discouragement too many. There's one that feels that the blessing is nowhere to be seen and that after all this time, after all this year, it's time to just call it a day. Maybe not even just to call it a day, but to have that coldness in heart start to settle in. How sad it would be if you were just one spiritual well away from the water. How sad it would be if you were to miss out on the blessings of God and the mighty move of His hand in a life through a lack of persistence. You know, we look forward as a church to seeing God move in this coming year. As we have different plans in place, we look forward to seeing what God wishes to do, whether it's in terms of the building or even adding to the church in number in the salvation of souls. How sad it would be if you had to hear about it from somebody else. How sad it would be to overhear about it in the shop, knowing that you are without it. Hearing that God is moving in ways that His people are beyond asking or thinking about. Not only does it break our heart, but it would break the heart of God as well. Knowing that one of His children has fallen short, that hasn't put in that persistence, that has missed out on the blessing because of a lack of devotion. Believer, this morning we have great examples here of Isaac putting in the work to get not only experience for experience's sake, but for true blessing from the hand of God. Wells that would sustain him for coming days and weeks and months in the Lord's will. A persistence that pays off through the blessing of God, and what a great delight that would have been to Isaac as the servants come and tell him, "We've found water. And the water's ours again. The people from Gerar, the Philistines, they're nowhere to be seen. We don't even tell them about it. We'll rejoice over the good things God has done for us." No believer, in the coming year, maybe God's asking you to put in a bit more work. Maybe God's asking you to start digging the wells again. And we trust that in the days to come in His will, that we would trust in Him, that we would rely on Him, and that whatever blessing we receive from His hand, that we would forever be thankful, remembering that the God of Abraham, Isaac's father, is with us. That we have no reason to fear, for He is always with us. That He will never forsake us. You would normally be singing an end of year hymn at this stage of the service. And one of the hymns that I love to sing at the end of the year, it's called "Standing at the Portal of the Opening Year," and I'll not read it all for the sake of time, but the last verse is a great promise and a reminder to all of God's people. It says, "He will never fail us. He will not forsake. His eternal covenant He will never break. Resting on His promises, what have we to fear? God is all sufficient for the coming year. Onward then, and fear not, children of the day, for His work shall never, no, never pass away." Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we give You thanks for Your word that has gone forth this morning. We pray You would write it and bless it upon each and every heart. Lord, we even give You thanks for the discouragements of this year, for You have shown us our need of You, and You have shown Your strength in the midst of our weakness. You have shown us that Your grace is sufficient for us, and we trust that we will cling to that grace and that strength in the days to come in Thy will. As we approach another year, Father, may we be determined to dig again the spiritual wells. Father, we confess our sins afresh, and we admit that we have let them be filled up by our own spiritual Philistines, that we've let the herdsmen of Gerar in our lives strive with us to try and take away the blessing. But Father, we pray that we would rely on You to give us the strength to build again, that after this broken year, in our own eyes, that we would rebuild. And Father, that we would see the wells flowing faster and more powerful than we've ever seen them flow before. And Father, at this stage next year in Your will, we pray that we would be completely amazed at the work of You in each and every aspect of our lives. Father, what we pray for ourselves, we pray for our unsafe friends and loved ones and neighbours and workmates and schoolmates and everyone around us, oh Father, what a blessed day it would be if we were to stand side by side with them next year, giving thanks about what God has done in our lives. So Father, we pray that you would move and that you would bless, not for our sakes, but for thy dear sake. And we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen.